to kind of learn to just be uncomfortable. And to know this will pass.
Totally.
It might take a day, it might take a minute, it might take an hour, but it's okay. And not to sort of, and I mean, I still do it, you know, but it's something to be more, I like the idea of just becoming more aware of when is it that I'm actually just distracting from what is.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what you're describing, that we get kind of caught in this, wheel of like distraction, you know, just distracting or making the moment better, you know, like, adding something to it. It's not good enough. I'm gonna go for some retail therapy, or I'm gonna have a beer, or I'm gonna whatever. Mm. It's like adding to something that is already actually perfect.
Welcome to the You Go Sisters podcast. This is Kat, and today we have an English episode for you. I'm talking with Nadine, a very inspiring woman I met last year here in Mallorca. And she moved here during the pandemic with her four kids, which is a pretty bold move. And that's what we are talking about and what she's inspiring us to, that we can do difficult things. That it's not always about easy, because the magic happens once we leave our comfort zone. And it doesn't even have to be the life-changing event like moving to another country. It actually starts with sitting with our feelings of discomfort instead of distracting ourselves. Because often we avoid difficult things, whether it's a negative feeling, a difficult talk, or speaking up, because it might get uncomfortable. Nadine and me talk about the comfort-driven society we are living in, where we are actually taught, hey, whenever you don't feel good, just distract yourself and it's gonna be okay. But that doesn't serve us in the long run. And there's this beautiful expression, to sit with the teachings of discomfort. Because that's what it is. It's a teaching moment where we learn a lot about ourselves. Nadine shows us how we can use these difficult moments to unleash our creative power and step into our higher self. For her, that's a warm and humble place, the more purposeful and authentic part of us that has not been conditioned by society and is not just craving for more. And I find this episode very beautiful because Nadine really inspires you to show up in terms of acknowledging really all parts of you, not just some parts, and embracing your darkness in order to become whole again, because that's what happens when you allow everything that makes you, you. And a good starting point to this can be listening to yourself, listening to nature, to others, and to be brave enough to dive into stillness, to sit with stillness and create a space within you. Like Nadine describes it as a garden where your inner voice can be heard, can be cultivated, and guide you towards fulfillment and also purpose. If that resonates with you and you want to learn more about listening to yourself, how you can sit with difficult emotions, how you can use stillness to bring you closer to yourself, then tune in into our new episode with Nadine. Welcome to the You Go Sisters podcast. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's a big pleasure to be here.
And you are one of the amazing women I met since I live here on this beautiful island of Mallorca. For all of you out there, I moved here from Munich in the beginning of 2021. Also a decision we took during the pandemic to leave the city. And you also moved here in 2020, I think, right?
In the summer of 2020, that's right.
And what took you here to Mallorca?
Well, we've been living as a family. When I say we, I mean my husband and our four children. We've been living in Berlin for many, many years, 17 years.
Wow.
And it was an amazing chapter, but we started to outgrow the city. Mm-hmm. Especially with teenagers, it just became very limited what we could offer them. And we decided it was time for change.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a bold move. I mean, with four kids to dive into this unknown.
Yes.
I mean, Mallorca is not a place like, I don't know, another big city.
Yes.
I mean, it's an island and...
Absolutely. And I'd actually never been here before. when the first time I came is actually the journey we found our piece of land on. Mm-hmm. So it was a very intuitive decision. We had been searching for somewhere green outside of Berlin, thinking maybe we can have it all, you know, have the city, but also have the green. But it just didn't work. We looked at lots of things and it just didn't feel right, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we decided, what if we expanded our horizons and, you know, went for even more change? Mm-hmm. And that's how we came. Well, my husband actually suggested. He was like, go and check out Mallorca. He was working. He works in the film industry. And so I had the kids alone and I was like, okay, I'll go and see Mallorca. And I had a very strange image of, or I don't know, what I'd heard of Mallorca had never really attracted me to this place. And I came here with the kids and I fell in love, like, immediately. It reminded me a lot of my French. I grew up in the south of France. Mm-hmm. And there was something about the light and the nature and the whole feel, the whole energy of the island that just reminded me of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with it immediately. And yeah, that's the trip we found our piece of land on. Mm-hmm. So it was a very intuitive decision. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And would you say you've been following your purpose moving here?
Yes, I would, because when we were living in the city, this thought, the kind of whisper of change, had been in my being for many years. Mm. And it started to get louder and louder until it just became very uncomfortable. And I realized we have to act now. Like, I can't stay here anymore. And I just wasn't aligned with myself and my values any longer. And I was looking for more purpose. Mm. You know, I was looking for a simpler life, a slower life, a life closer to nature. And yes, those are values of mine that I was longing to be more aligned with.
Yeah, and I really feel you also talking about that whisper. And I think many of you out there know this very well, like this silent voice telling you, hey, I have the longing to change something.
Yes.
And as you say, it gets louder and louder until it gets very uncomfortable. And I know it myself from situations in my life. It can get to a degree of uncomfort that I really felt like, okay, maybe I'm gonna implode or something.
Absolutely. I really understand what you mean. And that's the beauty of it, is that it will manifest. It will get louder. Mm-hmm. It won't go away. And that's amazing. Like, isn't that incredible that we can actually rely on ourselves? And you know what? Sometimes we're just not ready, you know? I know that when I look back, I totally understand why I was just not ready to listen to it yet, you know? And the process of listening and accepting it and creating a space inside my being, it's like a little garden. I was like, okay, this is my place. I hear you whisper. I'm going to create a little garden inside of myself. I know my time will come. But at the moment, all I'm doing is I'm accepting that you exist. Yeah, I'm existing with you. You are a part of my being, and the time will come where I will be able to give you, where I will be able to make this change. Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes change does take time, but I think it's important to at least acknowledge that something isn't aligned and really create space for that inside of you. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we do have to sit with the reality of things not going the way we want them to go, or not being ready. You know, everything is a process. And I think the awareness of a dream is important as well.
Yeah, totally.
It's part of the process of making that dream a reality.
Yeah, and also be true to ourselves, right?
Yes.
Because nowadays, also with the lives we are living, like, it's everything is very fast paced. So it seems to be easy to just cut off that voice.
Totally.
And kind of talk over it with your mind, and your mind telling you why it's not a good idea, why it could be dangerous, why it could be insecure.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's beautiful how you describe it, to create this space within you to let this voice be there and not like tuck it down
and let it grow, you know. It's that's why this image of a garden is kind of nice, because it's, you can still feed it, you know, and start looking and start thinking, manifesting, imagining, you know, like speaking about it, sharing your dream with others. This is how it kind of began, you know. You're cultivating it. It's like, okay, I know this will happen because I'm working on it. And that was a very beautiful experience. And then suddenly, before I knew it, I was standing on this piece of land and I was just so moved, because I had manifested that image so many times in my life and in my being and within my marriage, within my relationship as well. This was an image we had: one day we're going to be living in nature, you know. And the power of then standing there and having made this dream a reality was an incredible experience as a human being. You know. And of course it was difficult, you know. Our kids were at ages where most people were telling us, this is crazy, you can't take a 15-year-old out of the city. And there was some truth to that, you know. People, they were sensing what they were saying. Of course, they've just become independent and they're just experiencing what it is to be a city kid, you know, and the advantages, so to speak, of the city. And yet everything in me knew, I get you, but no. It was just absolutely clear. And I think for me as a parent, there was something in me that was like, you know what, I don't have much time with these human beings. Before I know it, they will leave, and I really would love to offer them something else, you know, and go through a change, because I am really a believer in our capacity to grow and our capacity to do difficult things, you know. And we are such a comfort driven society. I find it incredibly sad and dangerous, the extent of which comfort has become something that we aspire to. And for me, as frightening as this change felt, I knew that the discomfort and the challenge was exactly what we needed. And I wanted to hold my kids' hands and say, come on, let's do this together. Like, it's okay, it's gonna be hard, but I trust me and I trust you, I trust your ability, I trust all your skills, and you know, you're amazing human beings. You can do this. And I trust myself. You know, I really trusted myself, and my husband was very present in this decision. And we both really believed that this was a wonderful experience for us as a family.
Yeah, and what I also sense in this is giving yourself the allowance to really dream big. Because what you were talking about, this whole comfort zone we are all in, I have the feeling that sometimes we feel, I'm not happy with the life I'm having, and then we are looking for the easy fixes. Like, oh, maybe I need to change my job and that will give me the change and the fulfillment I'm longing for. But maybe if you are really true to yourself, it's not just about your job, it's bigger, it's about your life, and it needs a big step, because changing jobs, changing careers, whatever, might just be a quick fix. And in 1 year I'm sitting there still with the same discomfort. It didn't go away. And that's what I really admire, to just do the bold move and just jump into the unknown.
And it's rare, isn't it? Like, it's not often in life that we have moments. Well, I can only speak for myself. Of course, when I was younger, you know, it was perhaps manifested in a backpacking trip, you know, this kind of freedom of knowing it's okay. I don't have to know how this is going to go. I don't have to know for sure that this is the right thing to do. You know, this kind of ability to take the risk and to be okay with the outcome. I find that very refreshing as an adult. I'm 41 years old, and you know, so I was 39 when we did this, and it felt so exciting to remember that freedom and that courage and that sort of almost childish joy at the idea of doing something that felt so right and so alive. It made us feel so alive, you know, to do something out of the ordinary. And I think there comes a time in life also, perhaps, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but where you realize, like, okay, a lot of my goals have been achieved, or a lot of the things that I kind of had on my, I don't know, imaginary to-do list, or things that I thought I would one day become. And you've reached those things and you realize, like, well, actually, I'm still searching for something, you know? And somehow, even though from the outside everything looks like I've achieved it all, I'm searching for something. And that's kind of what it felt like to me, you know? It was like, this might not make sense to others, but I know that I'm searching for something. And both my husband and I wanted to be just closer to nature. And it's proven to be, for me and for us as a family, an incredible change to be closer to nature. And therefore, the way I see it, much closer to ourselves.
That's beautiful. And it's something I'm experiencing myself too. Yeah, because I always thought I want to live in the city and I want to be in the middle of life, and now I'm also feeling the effect it has on myself living here in nature, and my life completely slowed down. And now I'm realizing, oh, this little voice inside myself, finally it's getting a little bit louder. I can hear it more clear, and it makes such a difference for me not to be part of a certain environment anymore.
Yes.
Because that's also something that can limit us.
Yes. I think I totally agree with you, and I always, what I realized when I moved to Mallorca, especially onto our piece of land, is that I had this moment when I returned to Berlin for the first time after having been here for perhaps half a year or a year. And I realized the meaning of the sentence that, you know, the power of what you see, like it reflects something inside of you. And returning to the city, I felt very, very limited because everything, my sight was limited. You know, there was like buildings everywhere. Everyone was in a hurry. Everyone was very busy, life was fast, and it was reflecting that inside of me. You know, I felt uncomfortable and a little bit anxious, and I realized that I was missing, you know, the calm, the honesty of nature. Like when I'm in my garden and you can see there's a horizon, you know, and that reflects a certain horizon inside of myself. And watching the nature and being in awe of it so many times, you know, just staring at it and that fulfilling me. Like there's something very amazing about the exchange between my inner and outer world. And in a city, it's a very different experience. It's a very different exchange. And I think this has been one of the biggest changes for me to realize, like, I always thought, like you, I need to be with people. I need to be like in the middle of it. I think that was a really good way to put it. And now I cannot imagine ever being that again, because I realized that being in the middle of nature allows me to find myself in a way that I had never realized before. I'd never managed that before, and perhaps I wasn't ready for it, but
Yeah, and it's also something we were talking about in our last podcast episode about our nervous system, actually. And that it totally depends on our environment, and if we are in a very fast-paced environment, our nervous system gets really used to it. And then when there comes a moment where you just sit still and you don't have anything from the outside, you are just sitting with yourself, it's like an overload, like oh my god, how am I doing this?
Exactly, and being surrounded by nature is a constant invitation to be present. It's like no matter where I look, whether it's at my goats, at a flower that I hadn't noticed before, or at the wind in the tree, like it's just a constant calling. It's constantly inviting me to just take a moment. And that is incredibly powerful. When it's in your everyday life and it's something that you begin to cultivate and begin to actually need, you know, there are many times a day where I actually need to step out of my door and just go for a walk in my garden because I wonder if the artichokes are ready, or perhaps there's a new strawberry, or things that are so simple and yet so essential to our well-being.
And I think so many people have this longing, actually, to live more inside the nature, but they just don't see it as a possibility for themselves.
Yes.
Like, I experienced this moving here, that people were like, oh, I admire this, that you can do this, that you have the possibility to do this. And I was saying, hey, look, I'm creating this possibility for myself. It's not that I have it and you don't, but you can create possibilities.
Yes, I really agree with that. That was a very big element to our decision. We also had a lot of comments and, yeah, opinions and people thinking we were completely mad. And I understood them, you know. I understand where they're coming from. That could have been me some years ago. So it didn't trigger me, but it was interesting. And it allowed us to just keep confirming our decision and to keep saying out loud, yes, I understand your concern, but actually we know this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice way of actually taking the position again and again and again, you know.
Yeah, and also challenging yourself, probably, like, is it really true for me?
Yes.
And understanding that other people basically are projecting their own fears, their own doubts into you.
And I really agree with the way you put that about I'm creating my possibilities, because this was very similar with us. A lot of odd comments along the lines of, oh, you know, well, lucky you. And it was like, well, actually, this is very difficult. This is a very challenging decision. And I mean, now looking back, you know, that first year was definitely the hardest year of my life. There's no question. There were very many moments of struggle, you know, where I really met dark, dark parts of myself. And yet I never doubted that it was the right thing to do. I knew it in my bones somehow. And also accompanying my children through very, very difficult moments of, you know, frustration and loneliness and confusion. And yet just kind of trusting in the knowing that this is the right thing.
And as you said, I find it beautiful, this sentence. And I think Glennon Doyle says it, we can do hard things.
Exactly. That is like our family motto. Well, it became our family motto throughout that year, you know. Because it's true. And I think that is such a rebellious sentence, you know, because our society, as we mentioned earlier, it's all about comfort, you know, and we often avoid difficult things, whether it's a difficult talk or whether it's speaking up something that might be uncomfortable or whatever, you know, we avoid those difficult things and it doesn't serve us in the long run. And to show the children, like, you know, you are equipped to go through difficult things, hard things, I think is a very strong message for children.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I believe in you, and I know that you can do this.
Yeah.
And to look back then 2 or 3 months later and to see, you speak Spanish, you know? Well, I mean, now a year later, they're all fluent in Spanish, two of them in Catalan, and they have grown so much. It's just incredible. And I really believe that this will remain an experience that they can look back on and really find a lot of strength in.
Totally. And well, I guess this needs a lot of trust, also trusting your intuition, because like what I feel like, I have many voices in my head, and sometimes it's very difficult for me to distinguish like who is speaking now. Is it really my intuition, my truest feeling about myself, or is it my head telling me something? Is it my ego jumping on a train trying to protect me? How do you feel about that?
I really like that question. It's something I think about a lot. I find stillness helps me. I have those moments where I feel overwhelmed, because I am also I used to think I was a completely heart person, but actually I love being in the mind, and I love analyzing and understanding and really sort of dissecting topics and just diving into things. And I feel like when I'm confused, I just sit with it. I go to stillness, and my mind calms down. And this jumpy, these jumpy thoughts, you know, sometimes they feel quite nervous.
Yeah.
They calm down. And I've really been practicing that, especially since I've moved here, because I just have more calm in my life. You know, there is just, it's just slower and allows for more moments of stillness, sometimes unexpected. And I understand what you're saying, because I think sometimes it is very challenging to know, is this my ego speaking? And I find it a very interesting process to get to know my ego and to recognize it when it comes. This is something I'm practicing. And to be okay with it. To be okay with it. To be like, okay, I know where this is coming from. This is a part of me that wants to achieve this, or needs recognition for this, or wants to be seen for this. And then to just kind of feel into that. Like, does this actually serve me? Does this serve my higher self? What I mean by my higher self is the sort of more noble part of me, maybe. Perhaps the more purposeful part of me, the more authentic part of me, that hasn't been conditioned and isn't just craving for more, because that is often what the ego voice is wanting. It just wants more. It wants more of everything. And it'll keep wanting more of everything. And so when I try to sort of tap into, I call it my higher self because that is what it feels like to me. It's a very soft place. It's a very humble place. It's always there. I can feel it right now. You know, it's a very warm, safe, humble place. It's not like, it's not this craving. I think that's the best word. For me, the ego craves. And it's normal. It's, we all have it. It's okay. You know, it's not that I keep telling it to be quiet and stop craving. It's just that I'm not going to act upon that craving. And then I try to really tap into this place on a daily basis, this kind of quiet, very strong, very present part of me that is very soft, I think is the nicest word. And to tap into that, like, does this part also need this? And most of the time it's no.
Totally. And what also comes to my mind, all this conditioning about not being enough and not having enough. Like this, I would say it's like a sickness of society. Like, I'm never satisfied. It can always get better, and it's not enough.
Yes, and it's really painful to recognize that. I found that a very painful process. Coming, I mean, it, the most sort of, the biggest part of that happened when I left the city. And I left, I feel like I kind of left society in a way, you know, like I stepped out of something. And of course I'm part of society here in a very different way, but yes, I just mean I feel like I stepped out of the collective of the city, you know? And it's painful to let go. It's not easy. I found it a painful process, and yet so rewarding, you know, and such a relief. Because it is not what I actually want. It's not actually, like, again, like this higher self or this more humble part of me, it doesn't want that. It's just been kind of fulfilling that and kind of running along thinking, well, this is what's supposed to make me happy and this is what everyone else is doing, so I'm just going to kind of do this. And it's such a beautiful experience to just step out of that and take a breath and just kind of choose again, right? It's like, I want to choose again what I'm living by. What are the agreements I am living by? What are my personal agreements? You know, like, I don't think I need the new phone. I don't think I need this. I don't think I have to have whatever, this consumerism and all of these elements that have become so normal. It's a really beautiful, it just feels so much more authentic.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think it's also an experience, what you say, like this question, what do I really need?
Yes.
And sometimes we need to do the hard changes to yes. to realize what we actually need and yes. what not. For example, it's a very, very basic example, but before the pandemic, I was traveling a lot also for work, and I spent so much money for clothes. Mm-hmm. Like it was, for me, it was something like to be on a project in Amsterdam, and I go shopping, I buy a nice piece.
Yes.
And then with the pandemic, it happened. Like I didn't go shopping for 1.5 years, and I didn't even realize it. Just at a certain point, it came to my mind, hey, I'm not missing anything, actually.
Yeah.
I was just getting used to do it. Mm-hmm. My ego was just telling me, like, oh, you need this this dress to mm-hmm. to feel better, or mm-hmm. or whatever the thoughts are. And sometimes we are so caught up with this, mm-hmm. like we don't really see what we actually need. And it helped me completely to go back to basic, to realize, oh, actually, I don't need that many things.
Yeah. And I think that is actually a very powerful practice, mm-hmm. because something I observed in my children and myself in this whole process was the uncomfortability of reality sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to kind of learn to just be uncomfortable, and to know this will pass.
Totally.
It might take a day, it might take a minute, it might take an hour, but it's okay. And not to sort of, and I mean, I still do it, you know, but it's something to be more, I like the idea of just becoming more aware of when is it that I'm actually just distracting from what is.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what you're describing, that we get kind of caught in this wheel of like distraction, you know, just distracting or making the moment better, yeah. you know, like
yeah.
adding something to it. It's not good enough. I'm gonna go for some retail therapy, or I'm gonna have a beer, or I'm gonna whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like adding to something that is already actually
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I think that's very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's something that I observe in myself at the moment a lot, and we have so many reflexes, and we've been shown that that's how to do this.
Yeah.
This is how to do this. You just distract yourself,
yeah.
and you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's just, yeah, as you said, it's really not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that on the one hand, and I think for me what was a big... I don't know, coming back to this theme of purpose, the idea of... after this kind of time when you sort of go through a certain part of your life where you just realize, like, wow, I've actually achieved so many things, like, what now, you know? Mm-hmm. What is it that, why do I feel unfulfilled?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea of, like, giving back,
yeah,
this sort of, this idea of purpose being, I'd like to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this begins with the idea of, like, okay, what do I have to give?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, who am I? As in, what is inside of me?
Yeah.
You know, like, what do I have to give? And this is where a very deep process began, where I started to really sort of think, like, you know, this idea of consciousness, kind of becoming aware and becoming more mm-hmm. conscious of the human being that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how do I choose to go through this world, mm-hmm. through this life? You know, how do I choose to... deal with situations? How do I choose to mother my children?
Yeah.
How do I choose to sort out the pain that I have inside of me? Like, mm-hmm. where does it come from? Is a very deep, powerful, and difficult process. Mm-hmm. But I think it's essential to addressing your idea of purpose, because we can only give what we have.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's where a lot of this begins.
Yeah.
Is when you become... when you just realize, okay, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm ready to be honest and courageous and mm-hmm. and accept all of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of, even the things that I really don't like about myself, to learn to just be okay with them.
Yeah. 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 And also talking about fulfillment, also in this terms, really be true to ourselves and really ask myself the question, like, will I get fulfillment out of the job I'm doing right now? Does it really give me fulfillment to go shopping, to go partying, whatever? Mm-hmm. And to really look at the source of it, really be honest.
Yes. And I think everyone has a very different process, you know? And there's no right or wrong, you know? We're all very different human beings. And I think this honesty is the most important element.
Yeah.
Because I think it's okay to be like, right, I know this job is not exactly what I want, but it's serving me right now because it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think even just that sentence is very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, to just try to become more conscious about why it is we do things, and to just keep kind of checking in.
Yeah.
Like, is this role still okay with me? Mm-hmm. Or have I outgrown it? Mm-hmm. And if it is okay with me, why? Mm-hmm. And if I have outgrown it, what am I going to do about it?
Totally.
Because we're constantly growing.
Yeah.
And it's like this great thing, I always tell my children this, but like this notion of like growing pains, you know, physically, they're emotional as well. We're constantly growing and it hurts.
Yeah.
Growth is painful because it's like shedding a skin every time.
Yeah.
And it hurts. Yeah. We're letting go of our old self.
Yeah.
You know, again and again and again. And I think it's a very sort of awakened way of going through life, you know, to be aware, what skin am I in and what skin am I shedding?
Mm. And talking about this, what comes to my mind is what I think kind of a trap we are all in, or what my friends always tell me, what people tell me, like the money trap.
Yes.
Like, even if I realize or I acknowledge for myself, hey, I'm not happy with my job, it doesn't give me fulfillment, but I think many of us feel so trapped in it. For the very basic reason that, of course, we all need to make a living and we all need to make money. And I have the feeling that the situation brings us into that black and white thinking, like it has to be either this or the other. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there are so many in-betweens. And
yes.
And also, as you said, maybe changing the perspective, like saying, hey, maybe it's true that my job is not fulfilling me right now, but it serves a goal to give me money and to make peace with it and not go to work every day and hate my job and whine about it.
Yes.
Just like to shift those perspectives to make even space for something new to arrive.
I think resistance is anyway generally one of the biggest indicators of where to go next, in my experience. So we're either in expansion or we're in contraction, right? And if we're resisting something, we need to look at it. For me, it's a big indicator in the best way. To just kind of deal with it, like look at it and take it apart, and just, as you say, like change your the way you look at it, or change the situation. And I agree with you that, of course, finance is security for many people, and it is. There's no discussion. We all need to earn money. We all need to live from something. But what are you willing to sacrifice for your security? I think that's a very important question to ask.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the other side of security are lots of other things. Some might even say there's freedom. For me, it's often felt like that. So I think it's important to kind of keep that at the forefront of your decisions, you know? It's like, what am I sacrificing for this feeling of security that this brings me? And this is a very personal question. You know, everyone will have a very different answer. But I do very much believe in our creative power. I really, because I've seen it, because I've lived it, because I see it around me all the time, there is always a way. And that doesn't mean that it's an easy way. Absolutely, by no means. It's not about easy. But there is always a way to follow your true self.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, like, that's my experience. Many times, the way just reveals itself once we took the first step.
Yes.
But not before.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't reveal in my theoretical thoughts, like, how this way could look like.
Yes.
No, it's not working like that. I have to take the first steps.
Yes.
And then this way will reveal ourselves.
Yes. And also, I think, you know, often, like you say, it's not about knowing the whole thing. It's not about having 20 steps to follow. Mm-hmm. It's about taking the first one.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is simply, you know, sharing with your partner or a friend what you're feeling inside.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a first step. And the second step might be to speak to your colleague or speak to your boss. That'll be like every single step will lead to the next one. And I think that's a very beautiful image. You don't have to know where you're going. Just take the next step.
Totally. And that's also the topic with goals in life, right?
Yes.
Like I me myself, I become more and more critical, or I observe myself becoming more and more critical with goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the classic question in a job interview, for example, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And it's like, I don't want to know.
Yes.
Because then it's just what I already know, but there are so many things that I'm not even aware of right now, and I cannot be, because it's a process of growing, it's a process of development, and maybe there are things even greater in 5 years than I could ever imagine at the point where I am right now.
Yes.
Because, I have the experience that always with my viewpoint right now, I see a very limited series of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And many things were revealing on the way.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I didn't know 2 years ago even that I would move to Mallorca. It was never my plan.
Yeah.
It just showed up on the way, on the path.
Yeah. And that's just so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, that's the magic of being a human being, you know. I think processes are underestimated.
Yeah.
I'm someone who really honors processes because I believe they are incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell us, they reveal so much about ourselves if we're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly in a process.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And shifting and, you know, understanding things and easing into something or, you know, this is a very real, this is a very real experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people miss it,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, because of perhaps a lack of awareness or, you know, a fast life, a busy life, playing the roles that they've assigned to, you know, and it makes me sad. Sometimes to observe this,
yeah,
because I really, yes, I like this, or I try to sort of focus my work on consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is you're doing,
mm-hmm.
like, do it consciously,
mm-hmm.
because you think you're doing something for a goal, but actually, you're doing it for the experience of doing it.
Oh, yes.
Like, that goal, you don't even know if you'll be there to see that goal.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the experience of whatever it is you've chosen to do is exactly right, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where our focus needs to lie more. Or perhaps, I can only speak for myself, when I started to shift my attention, whether I'm speaking to my child, whether I'm listening to my teenager's day, whether I'm looking at a tree, whether I'm, I don't know, listening to a client, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's just the presence in that moment, because what will come will come. That's completely out of our hands.
Yeah.
I mean, we can attach ourselves, again, back to the mind. Mm-hmm. We can attach ourselves and think, I'm doing this because of da-da-da-da-da. Sure, mm-hmm. That's a story we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, we don't know if we'll ever get there. We don't know if we'll ever see that day.
Yeah.
And it's a big, it's a kind of clumsy mistake to not realize that what you're doing right now is all that matters.
Yeah.
Because there's so much meaning in just showing up for a moment. There's so much meaning in just sitting here with you and enjoying, you know, this process of thinking and sharing and honestly speaking is so full of meaning. And I think that's what we carry out. When we begin to pay more attention to the moment that we're in, we kind of take that everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And we inspire others to also perhaps pay more attention and be more present.
Yeah. And for that, we need to let go of control.
Yes.
Because I think that's an urge we have.
I love that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also letting go perhaps of this idea, I mean, I know that you're having like a purpose month, or that's a theme in your podcast.
Yeah.
What I found very interesting exploring the theme of purpose was, I think a lot of us have, or I can, me as well, you know, always thinking like, okay, what am I going to do to feel like I'm living my purposeful life, you know? Mm-hmm. And in exploring this theme, again, what I just said, like about being present in the moment, this idea perhaps of purpose being much less about doing and being much more about being, being purposeful, you know? So cultivating a purposeful life and not always thinking about what do I need to do? Because you're already doing a lot, you know, like in even just thinking about your purpose and opening up this part of yourself that might have been sleeping. That's already, you're already there. So trust that if you keep cultivating that, you will live a purposeful life.
Yeah, that truly resonates with me, because it's a trap I find myself in regularly. Which is also part of this whole conditioning, like the urge to always do something.
Yes.
And so what can I do, as you said, to live my purpose? But no, it's about being purposeful.
I really agree with you. I think this conditioning is incredibly deep, and I still find it in very unexpected moments. And it just takes me by surprise. You know, it's like, wow, there, here comes that conditioning again. And it's like, sometimes it's suffocating. And it's a very deep work. It's very deep work to really try to let it go and to find a way of being that is aligned with who we truly are, not who we've become through this conditioning. And it's very personal.
Yeah.
And it looks different with everyone, you know. But as a parent especially, I really find it my responsibility to, I don't know, dissect my conditioning and to be very aware of what I'm, what kind of an adult I am in as an image for my children, you know, as an anchor, as a kind of reference point. So, yeah. It's a very beautiful journey.
Yeah, and that's a very beautiful quote, really. This it's not about doing, it's really about being purposeful. And what I also experienced that for many of us, I think especially for us women, it's very hard to get into a mode where I really start feeling my purpose and not thinking what could be my purpose. And for me, it's also the female way to really get more into feeling it, and yeah, that's what I observe in you, that I have the feeling that you are very, very connected to yourself and to your intuition, and as you said, it means also sitting with the teachings of discomfort.
Yes.
And
yes, it really does. I mean, I'm on this journey like everybody else. I'm a student, an eternal student. I don't know, you know, I just know that this is when I feel at my most authentic. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm in touch with that intuition, and when I, you know, when I come from that place, mm-hmm. it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean I know everything, not at all. I mean, especially as a mother, you know, I make mistakes. I have to pick up the pieces often because, you know, I make mistakes, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it means having the, maybe it's something sort of like the humility
mm-hmm.
to just keep learning and to just keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you said is very interesting about the female, and I think that is a big, big part of my work. That's also I very quickly understood after becoming a coach, because I used to be in a completely different, I used to be in a very creative job,
mm-hmm.
Designing textiles. And I used to love that job.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it was just like the best thing ever. And I had some wonderful experiences making big dreams come true. And it was a time in my life where I was very much orientating myself in this little outer purpose, you know, like, what is it that I want to do here, you know? Creativity has always been something very important in my life. I've always been a very creative human being. And that was an interesting time in my life. But when I changed and realized I just cannot justify putting another piece of clothing out into the world, it just all sort of felt, it was after the birth of my fourth child, and I realized, like, I have to let go of that job because it's just too time consuming if I want to be a full-time mother of four children.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to really go inward.
Mm.
That was the beginning of a really deep process for me, and the best invitation ever. I'm so thankful to life that, you know, circumstances led to me being in a situation where I could kind of really reevaluate the woman that I want, the woman that I was, and the woman that I wanted to become.
Yeah.
So to anyone who's right now in a difficult moment, you know, I don't know, lost a job or at a crossroad in life, just be aware that it's probably the most creative time of your life.
Yeah.
Because this is really something that I think is also very underestimated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, what are you going to do? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know? And actually it's like, hey, this is amazing. Like, stop. And take the time to really enjoy the creativity that will now have to arise.
Yeah.
You know, because it's in those moments that we actually have to dig deep.
Yes.
And open up, and in that crack, whatever, you know, allow things to arise that would not have come out.
Yeah.
Had this or that not happened.
Yeah.
So the creativity in times of change, I think, is very important to the creativity that arises in us, in each being, in difficult moments of change, is just really, really interesting. So for me, this happened, and I just realized I'd like to do something more meaningful, what I find meaningful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I studied to become a coach, and it was a wonderful experience. And then quite quickly, I realized, actually, my personal experience as a woman today, here in this society, in this collective as it is something I feel so privileged to be experiencing. I feel genuinely honored to be a woman and equally honored to be a mother and to be alive in a time where I think that because of the patriarchy we have been living in for so long, women are not actually allowed to live as whole human beings.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And when I started to realize that for myself, it was really painful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, it was very hard to acknowledge the extent of it. You know, I'd heard of it, yeah, patriarchy, sure. I was like, yeah, it's really shit, whatever. You know, like I was like, yeah, I'm totally there. But actually, when I went inside and I started to look at the ways that I act, the ways I make myself smaller, the ways that I quickly just function or take on a role that actually I'm absolutely not comfortable with. But it was a total reflex. And the way that I sometimes judged other women, I was recognizing these things in myself, and I realized, like, I don't like this. I don't like this. It does not feel like this is actually me. It's coming from a place of pain. It's coming from a place of resentment. And I don't want to carry that inside of me anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not here for that. I know that. There's something inside me. I'm here. I know that the extent of my goodness and my generosity and my genuine love for other human beings is not aligned with this. So, and because I'm a woman and I identify as a woman, I just feel like when I speak to women, they awaken things in me and I awaken things in them that are also very related to our common wounds. So I've worked with men and it's been a wonderful experience, but I just feel like I can only go to a certain extent. At some point, it just doesn't resonate because we have a different physical, emotional, historical, cultural experience of being a human being. You know? And that's when I realized, like, you know, I love intensity, I loved going deep, and I love women, you know, I love being a woman. And I think our experience in this female experience is so sacred, and I am reclaiming that. In my very quiet way, on my land, within my body, within my family, within my community, that is my purpose. I feel like that process is my purpose here.
Yeah, I totally get you and I totally feel you. And I think it's so important that we all, women, reclaim this, really. And
that is it.
And that you realize, hey, there's nothing wrong with you.
Exactly. And on the contrary, everything of you is beautiful. Like to really... like that sentence, to really embrace, you know, your darkness, and to start to reconstruct yourself, you know, it means to like to become whole, to really look at everything that makes me me. And I think there's a lot of maturity that comes in with that. There comes a time in life where you realize, oh, there are parts of me that I've been neglecting. There are parts of me that are suffering. You know, there are parts of me that I'm not allowing because I don't think I am allowed to be this or be that. And there starts to come a point in life, which is different with everybody, I think, where you realize it is a necessity. Nothing else matters as much as me becoming a wholesome human being in order to serve, in order to give, in order to be what I'm here to be. And putting back the pieces of, you know, for me personally, it's helped a lot to kind of look back into my childhood, or, you know, to understand, like, you know, what did I like as when I was younger? What made me happy? When did I begin to change? What were aspects of society or my family or conditioning that, when did this happen, you know? To kind of start to understand, like, and that doesn't mean I'm being judgmental about it, because I'm not. It's not about pointing fingers. It's not about judging or criticizing or blaming. It's about taking responsibility.
Yes.
It's a choice. Like we were saying earlier, you know, it's a choice. It's, this is my choice. My choice is to put back the pieces of who I am and to really love them and embrace them and be them.
Yeah. And see this really as an exploration, as a journey, because it's not that answers just come, like I'm asking myself a question and then boom, I have an answer that I can note down in three sentences. Yes. It's so much about exploring and
it's beautiful, and it's such a relief. Mm-hmm. That's the beautiful thing, is that I think a lot of people underestimate the relief that comes with this, mm-hmm. because it just feels more honest, mm-hmm. you know, and it's so much more empowering to truly be okay with who you are, mm-hmm. is freedom for me. Mm-hmm. That is the definition of freedom for me.
Yeah.
And it's okay to make mistakes. Again, like, it's not about perfection. It has nothing to do with perfection. It has mm-hmm. everything to do with honesty and mm-hmm. imperfection. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are afraid of making mistakes and what if, no, you know? And it's not about that.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
I totally get that. And yeah, maybe starting with differentiating, like, what is it that I truly am and truly want to be, and mm-hmm. differentiate it from what society told me mm-hmm. I have to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think also sometimes this sort of uniqueness of each of our beings, I suppose this has really helped me. Being a mother of four children has inspired me more than anything. But one thing it's definitely shown me is the uniqueness of each and every one of us. And this is something that helps me sometimes when I'm stuck in these thoughts of like, but am I enough? Mm-hmm. I think we all have moments like that.
Yeah.
And then I return to the simple fact that I am in myself completely unique. Mm-hmm. The way I look, the way I feel, the way my story, you know, like my story is unique. No one has had my experiences. Mm-hmm. No one has experienced the world through these eyes the way I have for 41 years. Yeah. The combination of my body, mind, and soul will never happen again. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this gives me, it kind of reassures me that mm-hmm. my personal experience is already enough, because mm-hmm. there is just only one me. So when I look at my children and I can see that, you know, they're from the same parents. They have pretty much, I mean, obviously different because of their ages, but they've had a similar story. Mm-hmm. And yet they're so unique.
Yeah.
They're unique in the way that, you know, the four of them will have the same moment, and mm-hmm. each one of them will interpret it differently, will emotionally deal with it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so freeing as a mother, because it's mm-hmm. like, okay, wow, it doesn't matter what I do. They are interpreting this world and life in their unique way.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this so enriching, mm-hmm. because it's not just about, you know, what you've achieved. Again, it's not about the outside world. Come back to yourself. Mm-hmm. When you're in confusion, and when you're suffering, or just return to yourself, mm-hmm. and rest in the knowing that you, as your unique self, dealing with this moment right now, with mm-hmm. this confusion, that is everything.
Yeah.
That is all you're here to do, is mm-hmm. to keep showing up for your emotions, for your feelings, mm-hmm. for the challenges that life will continue to bring. That's enough.
Which brings me back to what we were talking about at the beginning, like, really trust yourself that you can do it, that you can do hard things.
Yeah.
And that you will go through it, and that it's a process and it's changing. And just because you are feeling lost right now, maybe it doesn't mean that you will feel like that forever. Yes. It's like a state, and it will change.
Yeah. Yes, and making those feelings as normal as feeling happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a parent, for me, this is also something so important, because I didn't have that. When I was younger, I had you know, parents who were very communicative. We had a very, very, you know, creative childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this kind of sort of overlying thing that, like, happy is good. You know, like, it's good to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is something I took on. I totally took that on for the first kind of large part of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
I was all about, like, hey, just be happy, you know, like, happiness is a choice, like, you know, blah blah, like, all, it's all about being happy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have a very optimistic kind of nature, and I really fell into that role. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. And it's so, there's so much more.
Yeah.
It's just like, and it's so much more interesting, like, life becomes so much more interesting. Yeah. When you realize, yeah, happiness is fine. Mm-hmm. But it will go.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what do you deal? What do you do when the next thing comes?
Yeah,
you know, exactly. And to make that okay. And I think that's a huge part of this work,
yeah.
Is accepting all of these difficult emotions and yeah, just mm-hmm. being okay with them,
mm-hmm.
and normalizing them for our children. You know, like,
yeah.
And not distracting them. Not like, you're lonely or you're feeling sad. Oh, okay, you know what? Let's just watch something together.
Mm.
No. Like, I've done that many times. But to just be like, okay, you know what? I can sit with you.
Mm.
And yeah. I'm here to listen to you if you need that. But otherwise, I can just sit with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because basically, that's what it is sometimes. It's just sitting it out.
Yeah.
And accepting
yeah.
it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And then the magic happens, because it's slowly starting to shift and to transform into something new.
Exactly. And before you know it, another emotion has come, and you know, it's this fluidity of being that is so fascinating.
And I have to say, sitting here right now with you, I have a very warm feeling.
I do
in
too.
My chest.
Me too.
And really deeply, deeply inspiring what you were saying and sharing with us. And there's one last question we ask all our guests in this podcast. And this question is, what is your shout out to all the women out there listening right now?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. Let me have a think. I would say, listen. By that I mean, listen to yourself and trust. Trust whatever it is that comes up, and trust yourself to be you. But I think listen is a very important word.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should all do more listening. And by that I mean to ourselves, but also to nature, to others. I think listening is a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Because it creates a space.
Yeah.
When we listen to each other, it creates a space that is very powerful. Because when we listen to somebody else, we're also listening to ourselves. Because when we listen and feel compassion for somebody speaking, things arise in us. And we're able to meet those more easily
mm-hmm.
in practicing this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're able to listen to ourselves more if we listen to others more. It's like cultivating this ability to be non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the most poisonous thing that we have, especially among women.
Yeah.
We're not here to judge or compete or compare. And yes, I think the word listen is the strongest thing that I would like, well, the strongest mm-hmm. concept that I would like to share.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to your heart, listen to mm-hmm. your intuition. And there's so much more I could say, but I come back to that a lot. I just listen. Mm-hmm. I listen to the wind. I listen to the stillness. And I listen to myself.
Beautiful. What a beautiful shout out. And and what a beautiful conversation, which has really been just flowing.
Yes, it's been really such a pleasure. I feel very honored to be here with you. Thank you. It's my first ever podcast, so I was a little bit nervous. And I'm sure I'm going to go home and be like, oh God, why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say this? Oh, I should have shared this. But again, I guess that's my practice now, is to accept that mm-hmm. this is just right the way it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It is. And yeah, for me, it's just, this conversation is just another proof that all we need is this space. Like, we were holding this space for our conversation, and honestly, we didn't really prepare anything.
No.
Just the way it should be.
And yeah, we were just present, and that's where the magic happens.
Yes. And taking time to allow to arise whatever's there in that moment.
Yeah.
This is with my women's circles as well. This is the way I prepare for them, is exactly that. It's just trusting that it will be just right, because that's what happens, is that whatever comes is just right. Mm-hmm. Whatever arises within me and within the space that has been created is just right the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the beautiful thing is, I think when we know, we know. And yeah, that it's right, and we just feel it.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing, not just to know things or understand things, but really to feel things.
I think often it is in those unexpected moments, you know? It's when you create something without even realizing. That's really magic. That's where real magic happens. It's not when you're trying to do something. Yeah. It's when you allow.
Yes. Thank you so much, Nadine.
Thank you.
For showing up here in this podcast.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure, really. It's really a wonderful experience.
And you are such an inspiring person, just with all your being. And thank you so much.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you very much.